Good morning and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Tetragon Q2 Investor Conference Call. If anyone should require assistance during the conference, press the star then zero on your telephone. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. I would now like to hand over to the chairperson, David Wyshner. Please begin your meeting, and I will be standing by.
As one of the principals of the investment manager of Tetragon Financial Group Limited, I'd like to welcome everyone to our Q2 2009 results and investor call. The format will be similar as that in the past. Phil Bland, our CFO, will present Tetragon's Q2 results, interim financial statements, as well as report on our quarterly dividend announcement. I'll provide an overview on our portfolio and key performance metrics, and Mike Rosenberg, also a principal of the investment manager, will provide an update on TFG and a market summary and outlook. I'd like to remind everyone that the following contains forward-looking comments, including statements regarding the intentions, beliefs, or current expectations concerning performance and financial conditions on the products and markets in which Tetragon invests. Our performance may change materially as a result of various possible events or factors. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Phil.
Thanks very much, David. TFG's results for the first half of 2009 are reflected in the unaudited interim financial statements, which were discussed by our audit committee and approved by the board on the 29th of July. These are now available on TFG's website, along with our latest investor newsletter. I'm going to start my comments by looking at the statement of operations for TFG, which is also summarized on page nine of the letter I just mentioned. As we've talked about in prior calls, when we're reviewing the performance of TFG's investments in our US GAAP format financials, we need to look at a combined view of the interest income line, which was just under $50 million for both Q1 and Q2 2009, with a change in realized or unrealized value of investments further down the statement of operations. In Q2, the combined number was a loss of $22 million compared to a Q1 loss of $410 million. While the investment portfolio remains under pressure, and more of that later when David and Mike talk to you, in particular from the impact of CCC downgrades, the pace of the deterioration was slower than the previous quarter, and this is reflected in both reduced earnings loss and reduced utilization of the accelerated loss reserve. From an external valuation benchmarking perspective, we were somewhat encouraged to see no significant change in the 2009 outlook for defaults from the ratings agencies during the quarter, and there were no material changes made to our previously disclosed modeling parameters. For further information on those parameters, I'd advise you to look at note two to our interim financials. In addition, Mike's going to give you some market commentary later in the call. The accelerated loss reserve, which we established in December 2008 and increased in Q1 2009, was reduced from $315 million at the end of Q1 to $254 million at the end of Q2, as $61 million of the reserve was released against losses experienced in certain investments within the portfolio. However, as you'll be aware, the reserve is calculated and held on a deal-specific basis, and there were cases where the reduction in fair value exceeded the available reserve, and this was the major contributor to the Q2 unrealized loss on investments of around $70 million. On a more positive note, our operating expenses fell 41% in the quarter to $3.2 million. This reduction was largely due to a decrease in the management fee, which is based on net asset value, and also was helped by zero interest expense for the quarter as a result of the complete payoff of TFG's borrowings during Q1, which we've discussed with you previously. Therefore, on a net income basis, TFG made a loss of $27 million for Q2, down from a loss of around $414 million in the first quarter. Expressed in terms of earnings per share, this was a loss of $0.21 per share for the quarter and approximately $3.51 for the first six months of the year. As you have noted from our monthly reports published to the website, June 2009 was actually the first month this year when we recorded a positive EPS as the pace of CCC deterioration slowed, although clearly it's too soon to draw hard conclusions from that data point. The loss for the quarter contributed to a reduction in our consolidated net assets, which stood at $693 million, or $5.50 per share at mid-year point, down from $5.75 per share at the end of Q1 2009. Looking at our cash situation, the investment portfolio generated $32 million of cash during Q2, which is roughly 25 cents per share. Although this was lower than the first quarter total of $47 million, it enabled us to grow TFG's cash holdings to around $124 million by June 30th, which equates to 98 cents per share. As we detailed in the previous investor conference call in April, we have zero borrowings or leverage. Finally, in terms of our operations, a quick word on the IRRs. Based on our latest base case modeling assumptions, which help establish the rate at which we recognize income in TFG, the weighted average IRR ended the quarter at 9.2%, down approximately 1.4% from the end of Q1. And this reflects, as I mentioned earlier, continued downward pressure from collateral losses on OC cushions in aspects of our portfolio. So having covered the statement of operations, I'd now like to turn to our second quarter dividend announcement. In setting the Q2 dividend, the board, as ever, focused on three key considerations. Firstly, the performance of the company and its potential challenges through the remainder of this year. Secondly, a continuation of what's clearly an uncertain economic environment. And finally, the cash generation from the portfolio and the cash reserves we have within the firm. Notwithstanding TFG's recent operating performance, the Q2 2009 cash generation and the level of cash reserves enabled the board to approve, based on the investment manager's recommendation, a dividend payment of 3 cents per share, directly in line with Q1. As in previous quarters, investors will have the opportunity to receive their dividend either fully or partially in the form of TFG shares rather than cash through our optional stock dividend program. The conversion ratio for that will be published to the website in August, and elections should be made in the usual way. So in summarizing our quarterly performance, the second quarter continued to provide significant challenges to the portfolio, resulting in a quarterly earnings loss, albeit one that was significantly smaller than the first quarter's, which is encouraging. Against this challenging backdrop, the portfolio continued to be cash generative, enabling us to strengthen our balance sheet and at the same time maintain the level of dividend payout. And having made those comments, I'd now like to pass back to David to comment on TFG's portfolio and performance metrics.
Thanks, Phil. Let me now run you through portfolio and performance metrics with an emphasis on the underlying collateral performance and quality. As of the end of Q2 2009, our investment portfolio continues to hold 61 CLO investments managed by 32 different collateral managers. This represents an estimated fair value of approximately $565 million. No new CLO investments were made during the quarter as cash flow from investments was primarily used to pay dividends to shareholders, continue our share buyback program, and for general corporate purposes. The portfolio is diversified across underlying asset class and geographies. Approximately 54% of the risk capital is invested in CLOs with primary exposure to U.S. broadly syndicated senior secured loans. 23% is in CLOs with exposure to European broadly syndicated senior secured loans, and 23% in CLOs with primary exposure to U.S. middle market senior secured loans. On a look-through basis, Tetragon's exposure to leverage loans totals over $17 billion par value, underpinned by approximately $693 million of permanent equity capital. Tetragon's exposure continues to be spread across approximately 1,700 corporate obligors, the substantial majority of which are U.S. names, with the balance being European. We continue to review our hedging strategy for credit exposure and FX principal risk on an ongoing basis, as we seek to address identified risks to the extent practicable and in a cost-effective manner. As mentioned previously, Tetragon has no corporate-wide borrowings, with a free cash balance of over $123.8 million at quarter end. We feel we are well placed to evaluate uses of excess cash for investment and hedging purposes. We will continue to seek to ensure stability of the company's business, as well as the company's ability to respond to changing market conditions. We believe that it is important to maintain appropriate levels of cash on our balance sheet given the current economic conditions and uncertainty. During 2009, Tetragon has bought back over 577,000 shares as we continue to execute on our stock buyback program. Life to date, we have purchased over 3.4 million shares. The board believes that the purchase of shares in the market at appropriate price levels below net asset value represents an attractive use of TFG's excess cash and an efficient means to return cash to its shareholders. Let me now update you on some key measures that we remain focused on. TFG's lagging 12-month corporate loan default rate increased from 4% at the end of Q1 2009 to 5.1% during the second quarter. This compares favorably to S&P LCD's 12-month trailing market default level of 9.15%. Excess loss reserves declined in Q2 2009 with approximately $39 million of excess loss reserves having been factored into our IRR calculations as of June 30th. At the end of Q1 2009, excess loss reserves were approximately $50 million. These excess net loss reserves are CLO specific and represent the aggregate sum of reserves experienced in the underlying loan portfolios for each CLO. We continue to focus on the impact of rating agency collateral downgrades on TFG's cash flows and earnings. These rating agency actions were the key driver behind the establishment of the accelerated loss reserve taken earlier in the year. As of the end of Q2 2009, 25, or approximately 42% of our CLO investments, were failing their most junior OC test. This is a slight increase from 24 investments, which represented 40% of our deals at the end of Q1 2009, though compares favorably to the market average of approximately 54%, as reported by Morgan Stanley in their recent CDO market update in early July. As OC tests are breached, CLO structures may divert excess interest cash flows away from the equity tranche holders to pay down the CLO debt, thereby curing the OC breach through deleveraging. Accordingly, the aforementioned 25 investments have either ceased to generate cash flow to TFG or are expected to cease generating cash flows on the next applicable payment date. Once enough debt has been repaid to cure the OC test breach, however, distributions of excess interest cash flows to equity tranche holders could resume to the extent not precluded due to the investments' realized or unrealized losses. As of Q2 2009, the weighted average percentage of corporate obligors rated triple C or below in our 61 investments was up slightly to 11.6% versus 11.4% reported at the end of Q1 2009. This also compares favorably to the market average of 17.7% as reported by Morgan Stanley. The weighted average rating factor also slightly increased to 2,800 from a previously reported 2,780 level. Each of these statistics represents a weighted average summary of all of our 61 investments. In sum, while loan and CLO market prices staged a rally in Q2 2009, we continue to be cautious in our outlook and are focused on taking the appropriate steps to help mitigate further portfolio effects. While a number of CLO performance drivers are stabilizing, other metrics such as loans and defaults may continue to have a negative effect on TFG's portfolio. We continue to remain focused on our existing investments. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Mike, who will discuss our outlook for TFG and the marketplace.
Thanks. The low market rally continued through the second quarter with the S&P LSTA Leveraged Loan Index posting an approximately 20% gain, driven by, among other factors, improving technicals and generally better than expected, though arguably still weak, first quarter earnings. Of importance to the CLO market and OC tests has been the rally in triple C rated loans, which have posted an approximately 45% return for the first half of 2009, according to LCD. As we've discussed on previous calls, CLOs typically require that excess triple C loans above a CLO's coverage test level be held at their current market value. Additionally, the pace of increase of loans rated triple C or below has eased. As Dave mentioned, our weighted average percentage of CCC loans or below increased marginally in the second quarter from 11.4 to 11.6%. Now, offsetting the positive OC test impact from rising CCC prices was the continued pickup in our trailing 12-month default rate discussed earlier. Commensurate with the loan market rally has been continued strength in the high-yield bond market. We expect the high-yield bond market, new issue market, to remain buoyant as loan issuers look to continue to tap the bond market to refinance pending loan maturities. Other alternatives to the pending maturities of loans are amendments to extend maturities, which have been pursued by many loan issuers. As would be expected, both of these efforts, bond refinancing and amendments to extend maturities, started with higher quality names and have slowly moved down the credit spectrum. It'll be interesting and quite important to the overall loan market and therefore tangentially to Tetragon to see if this trend continues, which would be a very good result to the issue of pending maturities in the loan market. The new issue CLO market remained anemic during the second quarter and is expected to remain that way for some time. However, of interest was the level of secondary trading activity in CLO debt market, in addition to the several recent resecuritizations of existing CLO debt tranches. This may indicate that capital is starting to flow back into the broader CLO market. Although a number of CLO performance drivers or metrics are stabilizing or improving, such as loan prices and OC cushions, other drivers, such as defaults and losses, may continue to exert negative pressure on TFG's investments. Typically, defaults will lag any economic recovery, just like the increase in defaults did not coincide with the initial downturn in the economy. However, it is interesting to note that the rating agencies and several investment banks have recently revised downward their projections for high-yield defaults in 2010. This could potentially signal a tipping point in the default cycles, in the default cycle, with default rates peaking at some point later in 2009 or the beginning of 2010. As David mentioned, we have approximately $124 million of cash as of the end of the second quarter, and cash continues to be generated on the majority of our portfolio. As such, we've reached a cash balance that may allow us to deploy meaningful amounts. We intend to continue to focus on the preservation of our existing investments during the remainder of the year. We are very cognizant of our share price and will continue to focus our efforts on narrowing the discount to book value. We're evaluating several investment opportunities, including both financial and strategic opportunities, as well as continuing our stock buyback program. With that, I want to hand it over to Dave.
Thanks. Again, we'd just like to thank everyone for joining the call. As always, please do not hesitate to contact us directly with any questions you may have. We look forward to speaking to you in the future. Thanks again.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your participation today. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.